ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणीं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरक्षे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so once again, welcome everyone. Thank you for being here this Saturday evening. So we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. We started second canto of Bhagavatam last time. So we started with Parikshit Maharaj's taking shelter of Shukdev Goswami and asking few questions from Shukdev Goswami. So in particular, he had three questions. What is the duty of everybody at every time? Second question, what is the duty of somebody who is about to die? What is to be heard? What is to be remembered? What is to be chanted? And also, what is not to be heard? What is not to be chanted? What is not to be remembered? So in answer to that, Shukdev Goswami, he mentioned four grihamedhis whose whole consciousness is completely absorbed in the family life, in the home, for those people who do not understand the ultimate goal of life, who are bereft from Atma Tattva, those type of people have thousands of subject matter to hear, to listen, to chant, to memorize, to remember. But one who understands the goal of life, he should not engage in those topics. And then what is the ultimate object of somebody's remembrance? What is to be heard? What is to be chanted? Shrotavyasya kirtitavyas smartavyascha. Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari. So one should hear about the Supreme Lord, one should chant the names of the Supreme Lord, one should remember the Supreme Lord at all the times. And for somebody it may seem to be a very sectarian answer, that it just describes the three limbs of bhakti, three limbs of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. But does it apply to everybody? So Shukdev Goswami said, even though all other people who take through all the various other processes, it may be a Ashtanga Yogi or a Jnana Yogi or a Karma Yogi, but everybody, the ultimate object, Ante Narayana Smriti. So no matter what path somebody take, at the end, they should remember the Supreme Lord. Ante Narayana Smriti. And one can remember at the end only if one practices to remember. And for practicing to remember means to constantly hear, to constantly chant the holy name, only then we can remember at the end. So Shukdev Goswami, in that way he described answering the three questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Now after answering this, Parikshit Maharaj could have told, I gave you your answer, now you have 7 days. Now you should engage in this activity. Okay, and here I go. But Shukdev Goswami, he did not just answer, he just did not give the guidance, but he said, I am going to help you in execution of these activities. Like we discussed, the saintly person, what is the quality of a sadhu? He simply does not just offer the solution to a problem, but he goes out of his way, he goes out of his convenience, out of his comfort zone to help him execute that solution. So Shukdev Goswami simply did not say, oh, you should hear, you should chant, you should remember, so now 7 days just do that. But he said, I am going to help you in this Shravanam Kirtanam process. So I am going to speak, help you in the hearing process for this next 7 days. And Parikshit Maharaj, he completely agreed that I understand whatever you said. I completely agree with that. But here is my question. I agree that this process of devotional service is very powerful. But will it be enough to help me in these 7 days? Are the 7 days time duration enough to execute this process? Because just imagine, somebody comes and tells you, I need $1 million. And you tell him, I have a solution for you. See, this particular occupation, if you take this particular occupation, this particular job, you know what is the salary in 1 year? It's $500,000. Okay, very nice. I agree that this profession is very nice, but hear me out completely. I only have 1 month to earn this $1 million. Will this help me? So same way Parikshit Maharaj is asking, I understand this process of devotion service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, is very powerful, very wonderful process. But will it be enough for me to practice in last 7 days? Will it help me to gain the ultimate goal of life? And Shukdev Goswami said, yes, this will help. There are many examples. This is all as per the understanding of all the great transcendentalists. Okay, I agree with that. I understand that, but can you give me one example? So Shukdev Goswami cites one example. He mentions about Khatavanga Maharaj. He said, "You have 7 days. 7 days are enough. Just come sit here, and I will speak to you about the glories of the Supreme Lord, and you will get the ultimate goal of your life. Even one muhurta is enough. And one muhurta can be translated as one moment also. That one moment is enough. And technically speaking, one muhurta, how long is one muhurta? The duration of one muhurta is about 48 minutes. So one muhurta is enough to gain the ultimate success by executing this process. There was Khatvanga Maharaj. He attained success within a duration of one muhurta. So who is this Khatvanga Maharaj? He was actually a great king. And he was even invited by the Devi Devatas, the celestial beings, to come and fight on their side against the demons. So this Khatvanga Maharaj, he on the sides of Devi Devatas, he participated in this war. And Devi Devatas being very pleased with this Khatvanga Maharaj, once the war is over, they wanted to award him something. That you please ask anything what you like. But Khatvanga Maharaj, he was very conscious of the ultimate goal of life. He did not want to waste his time in sense enjoyment by asking any boon for enjoyment. So his question was, first please tell me how much life duration is left. How much of my life is left? And they told him, only one muhurta of your life is left. And Khatvanga Maharaj said, thank you very much. I don't want anything from you. Let me absorb my consciousness into the Supreme Lord. And within one muhurta time, he attained the ultimate success of life. So Khatvanga Maharaj has one muhurta, one moment of duration. You have 7 days. That is more than enough. Come sit and listen about the glories of the Supreme Lord. Now, what is our situation? First of all, we don't know when the death can come. But our consciousness, our mindset is such that we think I am going to live for another 100 years. And what is the need to take it so urgently? We keep delaying and delaying and delaying to engage in this process. As we see that famous cartoonized version, right? Somebody approaches a small baby or small child. रीड भगवत गीता अभी तो मेरा खेलने कूदने के दिन है अभी कौन भगवत गीता पढ़ेगा वाई टू रीड भगवत गीता इट्स टाइम फॉर मी टू प्ले लेट मी एंजॉय एंड देन एज द बॉय गेट्स लिटल ओल्डर बिकम्स अ स्कूल गोइंग किड रीड भगवत गीता अगेन आई एम वेरी बिजी कल एग्जाम है फिजिक्स का एग्जाम है कल कल मेरा मैथ का एग्जाम है देर इज नो टाइम टू रीड भगवत गीता ओके grows even little more older, few more years, goes to college. You should read Bhagavad Gita. It has answer to all the questions. It will help you lead a dynamic life. No, sorry, thank you. I don't have time. I am too busy. एक तो एग्जाम्स का टेंशन ऊपर से कंपटीशन इतना ज्यादा है ऑल द अदर बॉयज दे आर हैविंग देयर गर्लफ्रेंड्स एंड बॉयफ्रेंड्स एंड आई एम विदाउट एनीथिंग आई नीड टू फर्स्ट सेटल माई लाइफ कीप पोस्टपोनिंग एज ही ग्रेजुएट्स नाउ टेक टू भगवद गीता अभी तो जॉब सर्च करना है आई नीड टू सेटल माई करियर करियर बनाना है अच्छा सा घर बनाना है गाड़ी लेना है शादी करना है तो शादी हो गया अब तो भगवद गीता पढ़ लो अभी तो और भी ज्यादा जरूरत है नाउ यू नीड इवन मोर नो आई एम टू बिजी फुलफिलिंग द नीड्स एंड डिजायर्स ऑफ माई स्पाउस फुलफिलिंग द नीड्स ऑफ द किड्स When I grow old, when I get retired, then it's all the time in the whole world. Then I will read Bhagavad Gita. Then I will chant Hare Krishna. Then one gets old. Now read Bhagavad Gita. अरे बेटा क्या करे पढ़ तो लूंगा पर कुछ याद तो रहेगा नहीं आई कैन रीड बट आई विल नॉट बी एबल टू रिमेंबर एनीथिंग सो वट इज द पॉइंट एंड आई एम नॉट एबल टू सिट प्रॉपरली यू नो ओल्ड एज द नीज स्टार्ट फेलिंग आई कैनॉट सिट So how can I sit and chant the holy name? So throughout this life, from a child to youth to old age, the time we keep pushing on and on, delaying and delaying and delaying. And death is not going to come with the notice. Parikshit Maharaj was very, very, very fortunate. He knew that I have only 7 days. And he was able to withdraw all his son's activities, renounce everything and take to the ultimate goal of life. Even if somebody knows in this situation, in this Kali Yuga, that our life is very short now, still the attachments do not leave. So Parikshit Maharaj got the notice in what way? Through the curse of the sage. Right? That a Takshaka bird is going to come and bite you and you are going to die in 7 days. For us, how the notice comes? It may not come in some scenarios. There may be a road accident. Who knows? Are we sure that we are going to live tomorrow? I'm not speaking all this to just scare you. It's just the reality of life. We see so many people getting killed every day in one way or another. Somebody may die in road accident, somebody may die in a house fire. Something or other can happen. It's just the reality of life. And somebody is really lucky, they grow old and then they gradually die. Now for those people also notice come. In what form?
Old age.
Old age. When you go to an examine, doctor will tell you, you have this disease or that disease. So your life expectancy is maybe another 6 months. So many people get that notice, isn't it? So doctor will tell them maybe another 6 months. You are not going to last more than that. But are people able to leave everything and take to this process? Still their hope is some way or other somebody will save us. Somehow we will be able to defeat the death. Somebody, our family members, our relatives, our kids and kin, they will be able to prolong our life. So all this attachment with the body and everything related to this body, all these remain. So here, Shukdev Goswami is telling, here in 7 days I am going to speak to you about the glories of the Supreme Lord. And that is the verdict of all the great sages. Now, but what happens after telling all that, after describing about the glories of the devotional service? Now Shukdev Goswami start describing the process of Ashtanga Yoga. So just now he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam. That is the ultimate goal. Everybody should do that. Then all of a sudden he starts describing the process of Ashtanga Yoga, that one should meditate in his heart on the Pramatma aspect or on the Vishvarupa, Virat Rupa or the personal form of the Lord. Now why did Shukdev Goswami all of a sudden started speaking? So I will take few minutes here before we move on to clarify some things. See, we are going to study Bhagavatam systematically. And in Bhagavatam, mostly we know that it's various pastimes of the Lord in his various avatars, various incarnations. But along with that, Bhagavatam has some theoretical subject matters also. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, we heard the glories of Bhagavatam, the first three verses, where it describes Dharma Projita Ketva Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. That this Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana, rejecting all the Ketva Dharma. Any religious activities which is motivated by fruitive activity, fruitive result, it rejects all those and it propounds the highest Dharma. And this Srimad Bhagavat Puran is relished by the Paramahansas, Nirmatsaranam Satam. The people who are completely devoid of any envy in their heart, all any anarthas in their heart. So it is relished by the Paramahansas. So in the beginning of Bhagavatam, this has been mentioned. But then why all of a sudden Shukdev Goswami started speaking about the lower dharma, this Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga and all that? Why these type of subject matters are described in Bhagavatam? Isn't it Bhagavatam should be speaking about all the nice, wonderful pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan or in Dwarka or Ayodhya, pastimes of Lord Krishna, pastimes of Lord Ram? Isn't it Bhagavatam should be speaking highly just about those wonderful topics, nectars of these pastimes? So why Shukdev Goswami started speaking about other things? So I will tell you four reasons, as explained by Acharyas. This is not part of Bhagavatam flow, but to understand the flow, we need to understand how the flow is systematically presented, how this whole presentation of Bhagavatam has been done by Shukdev Goswami, by Vyasadeva, why he compiled in that way, why Suta Goswami spoke in that way, in that systematic presentation. So the first reason why Shukdev Goswami started speaking about that, because he does not want to sound dogmatic. So dogmatic means just accept it because I say so. No explanation given, no reasoning given, just accept it. Right, that is the dogmatic way. That's why, if you see this in India, why people don't accept dharma, religion. Because when kids ask question, parents don't offer the answer. Oh, they will say, aise chalta aa raha hai, to karo. Don't ask questions. Just accept it. So that is dogmatic. So people, if somebody is told as dogmatic way, no explanations given, people don't tend to accept that. They will have doubts in their mind, why to accept this. So Shukdev Goswami said, Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam. And he did not say, just do it because I told you now. So he is going to lead from gradually from lower level to higher level, giving explanations, accepting that there are many other classes of people who follow different path. Not everybody accepts this principle. In that assembly, there are many other personalities, many other sages. So many different sages assembled there. So all these various sages, not necessarily everybody is follower of the Bhakti Yoga path. There are many sages, if we read their names, which are described, that who all assembled there. And if you trace their background, you will know some of them are followers of Karma Yoga path. Some of them are follower of the Ashtanga Yoga path, the Jnana Yoga path. So to include them also, to gradually uplift them also to the highest principle, Shukdev Goswami is starting with this process of Ashtanga Yoga. But now somebody may ask that in the beginning it said it is the scripture which is rejecting all of the dharma, Kaitava Dharma, and it is for the Paramhansas. Yes, it rejects all other Kaitava Dharma, the lower religious practices, but it rejects them with systematically explanation of the higher principle, not just completely blindly rejects them. It systematically gives the explanation and then establish the highest principle. Because Vyasadeva, why he compiled Bhagavatam? Shukdev Goswami, why he spoke Bhagavatam? Who are the targeted audience? Even though it says Nirmatsaranam Satam, it is relished by the Paramhansas, but it is not just for the Paramhansas. Because if it is only for the Paramhansas, what is our scope? Do you think we are at Paramhansa level? We will not have the eligibility to hear or recite Bhagavatam then. So it is highly relished by the Paramhansas, but it is for everybody who are all degraded people also, to uplift them. Because that is what Vyasadeva himself is saying, why he compiled this Bhagavatam. And when Shukdev Goswami recited, he is mentioning why he recited this Bhagavatam. So in the first canto, when we discussed, when Narad Muni came to Vyasadeva, he asked him to compile Bhagavatam. Because in all other scriptures which he had compiled, he propounded mostly as Karma Kanda principle. And Narad Muni said, people in this world, they are already so much attached to this karmakandik rituals to gain some material benefit, and you have further trapped them in this karmakanda process. You should have given the highest dharma. So Vyasadev compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost Purana. But here, what does Vyasadev say? Why I am compiling this scripture? Anartho pasham sakshat bhagvati yoga adokshaje lokasya janato vidvans chakre sattvata samhitam. So the material miseries of the living entities, it can be directly mitigated by the process of devotional service. Sakshat bhaktir yoga adokshaje. So whatever the miseries one has in this material world, they can be directly mitigated by this process of bhakti yoga. But the problem is, most of the people do not know this. So that's why Vyasadev, he's saying, I'm compiling this Vedic literature. Lokasya janato vidvams chakre sattvatah sammitam. I'm compiling this Sattvic Purana, Bhagavat Purana, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. So what is the reason he compiled this Bhagavat Purana? Anartho pasham, to uplift the people from their level of anarthas. And then why Shukdev Goswami recited this Bhagavat? Shukdev Goswami is a great transcendentalist person. Why will he recite? What is his reason of reciting? Yas savanu bhavam akhila shriti sarmekam madhyatam deepam atitirshatam tamo andham sansari nam karunayaham puran guhyam tam vyasa sunam upyami gurum muninam. So Suta Goswami is explaining this to the Shaunakadi Rishi, that why Shukdev Goswami spoke this Bhagavatam. He says, let me offer my obeisances unto Shukdev Goswami, the spiritual master of all the sages, Gurur Muninam, the son of Vyasadev, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists, Sansari Nam. So those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest region of material existence. Ati Tirshatam Tamo Andham. So who are struggling hard to cross beyond this darkest region of material existence, to uplift them, Shukdev Goswami spoke this most confidential supplement, which is the cream of all the Vedic literature. So that is the reason why Vyasadev compiled this literature, why Shukdev Goswami spoke this. So all the people of this world who are suffering with all these material miseries, who are filled with the anarthas, they can be uplifted. So yes, the Paramhansas will relish it the most, but it is beneficial for everybody. So just understand with this example. For a normal person who does not have any jaundice, for him, the sugar candy tastes very nice. He can completely relish the taste of that sugar candy. But somebody who is suffering from jaundice, for him, the sugar candy may not taste that sweet. Because he is afflicted with that disease, his tongue has lost the capability to enjoy that sugar candy taste. But as he keep tasting, as he keep drinking that sugarcane juice, that same disease is cured, and when he comes back to his normal state, he can relish the taste of the sugarcane. So even though the normal person who is completely cured, he can relish it the most, but for him, for the diseased person to come to the normal state, he has to keep tasting that. So same way Bhagavatam, it can be relished the most by somebody who is free from anarthas, who is a Paramahansa, but still this Bhagavatam is the solution for the diseased person also, who is filled with anarthas. So that's why, to uplift everybody from their materialistic condition, from their anarthas, this scripture has been compiled and spoken. And Bhagavatam, in the first canto, second, first chapter, second verse, says, Sadhyo hridaya varudhyate atra kritibhi shushrubhi tatkshanat. The Lord becomes manifested in the heart of these type of people. And what are these type of people? Kritibhi shushrubhis. So there are two type of people. What is kritibhi? If somebody remembers from first canto when we discussed. Kritibhi and shushrubhis. Sadhayo hridaya varudhyate atrah kritibhi shushrubhis tatkshanat. Tatkshanat means immediately. He becomes manifested in their heart. Steadfast. On whose heart? So kritibhi is who have the great taste for hearing. Somebody who has a great taste for hearing about the Supreme Lord, the Lord immediately becomes manifested in his heart. Oh, he is interested in hearing about me. I want to help him. And there is another category of people, shushrubhis. They are pious. They don't have the great taste of hearing yet, but they have the great desire to develop the taste. So gradually, the Lord will become manifest in their heart also. So that's why the Lord immediately become manifest who somebody shows the desire to hear about the Lord. Somebody has a taste to hear about the Lord. So to uplift all these people, this whole scripture has been given for the benefit of all people in common, in general. So the first reason why this scripture is spoken and why Sukhdev Goswami is speaking about the other processes also to uplift people from wherever level, whatever level they are. Because in the assembly there are many other type of people who are follower of the different processes. Because in some of these sages, they are coming down from the time of Satya Yuga also. Right? All these great sages, some of them are existing from the time of Satya Yuga. And in Satya Yuga, what was the process of self-realization? Meditation, Ashtanga Yoga process, Dhyana. Right? So some of them are practitioner of the Dhyana process. So Sukhdev Goswami does not want to just put them aside. He wants to include everybody.
When the Yuga is over, don't the entities,
No.
It's over and the new cycle.
It's not when the Yuga is over. It's one millennium. When one Manvantara is over, then there is a dissolution. And still that time also, it doesn't mean that who existed in one mantra cannot exist in second Manvantara. There are personalities who existed over the Manvantaras also. But there is no dissolution after every Yuga.
So even besides Satya Yuga.
So from somebody coming from Satya Yuga can exist in Treta Yuga. Somebody from Treta Yuga can exist in Dwapara Yuga. Somebody from Dwapara Yuga can exist in Kali Yuga also. So there are great sages who have a long duration of life, who existed across all these four Yugas, and they will continue in the next Satya Yuga also.
Like Parikshit Maharaj's family.
So last time I was giving in Bhagavad Gita class, I was giving the example of Lommas Rishi. You know what is the life duration of Lommas Rishi? So when all the hairs of his body will fall down, then he will die. And one hair falls in one day of Brahma. So that is his life duration.
And what's one day of Brahma?
And one day of Brahma is when there is 1,000 cycles of four yugas.
Oh my God. Is that like a curse or a blessing?
It is a blessing to him that his life duration will be that long. It can come as curse also, right? It can be as a curse if somebody is too old. So for somebody who is too old, sometimes the long age becomes a curse. Because if you have to be dependent on somebody and you cannot walk, you cannot sit, you cannot just do anything on your own, that long duration of life in that state becomes a curse. But for Lommas Rishi, we cannot say it was a curse because he was a great sage, absorbed in the Supreme Lord always. So the point here I'm saying is there are personalities who can exist across the yugas. So there are many great sages who existed from the time of Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, who may be the practitioners of this Dhyana Yoga process. So to include them also, Sutta Goswami, Shukdev Goswami is going to speak about the Ashtanga Yoga process first, to start. But this Ashtanga Yoga process, it is applicable in devotional practice also. It's not that it's not applicable in devotional practice. So that was first reason. Second reason. So everybody has different qualification. Actually, I already mentioned this reason also, that everybody has different qualification. Not everybody is the follower of Bhakti Yoga process. And not there was not everybody who accepted Shukdev Goswami as his guru. So just to attract all these people to the process of pure devotional service, he is speaking this topic. As Lord Krishna is also actually telling Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, that people who have fully developed Shraddha in the process of Bhakti Yoga, for them no other occupational duty is to be left done. They can reject any other lower dharma, their varnashram dharma also. But somebody who has not developed full Shraddha in the process of Bhakti Yoga, they should continue with their varnashram dharma. So ultimately, gradually they will come to that level. So the whole scheme is to gradually uplift people. So that is second reason. Then third reason, that any Mahapuran, it need to cover 10 topics. And what are these 10 topics? So he says that is these are actually the 10 topics of Bhagavat. So second canto, 10th chapter, first verse actually describes these 10 subject matters of Bhagavatam, which are Atah sarga visarga sthanam poshanam utayah manavantra ishanu katha nirodha mukti ashraya. So these are the 10 topics of Bhagavatam. Sarga, visarga. Primary creation, secondary creation. So when we go forward further, then we'll discuss more in detail about these 10 topics. Here I'm just giving you the names of these 10 topics, maybe a little brief what are these topics are. So sarga means the primary creation done by the Lord, and visarga means the secondary creation. So the Lord created the primary elements, and then using those primary elements, there is a secondary creation. Like the owner of the company, he arranges the raw material, and the engineers take those raw material and develop it into a product. So creating all the raw material is sarga, and taking that raw material, creating into a product, that is visarga. So sarga, visarga, then sthanam. So where this creation happened, or where this secondary creation happened. So this whole planetary system, the structure of the universe. So all different divisions of this 14 planetary system. So that is sthanam. And then poshanam, how does the Supreme Lord maintains everybody. And then the fifth one is utaya, means the impetus for the fruitive activity. What is the force which pushes somebody to do any activity? And then manvantra, the time period, the time calculation, the duration of manus. And then the seventh one is Ishanu Katha, the science of God, the description of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Ishanu Katha. Then Nirodha, Nirodha means how does the whole dissolution takes place? Annihilation takes place. So Nirodha and then Mukti, liberation. What is liberation? What are the different types of liberation? How is one eligible to get that Mukti? And then the ultimately, the topmost topic is Ashraya, the Supreme Lord, who is the shelter of everybody, who is the cause of everything happening in this world, who is the cause of all these 9 different things also. So these are the 10 topics, and any Purana, any Mahapurana need to cover these 10 topics. So these are the 10 subject matter for spiritual progress, spiritual realization. So all the Puranas, we say there are 18 Puranas. So 18 the main Puranas, and there are some Up Puranas also, which are the sub Puranas. But all the 18 Puranas, they actually need to speak about these 10 subject matters. But the speciality of Bhagavatam. Can you wait till end? The speciality of Bhagavatam is, even though it speaks about these 10 topics, but it focuses. It does not lose the focus on the ultimate subject matter, which is Ashraya, the Supreme Lord who is behind everything. So the focus is always on that topic. So just imagine when you go to temple. In the temple altar, Radha Kunj Bihari altar is there. On the altar, Radha Kunj Bihari is standing. But on the altar, there may be other things also. There is some decoration done on the altar. There are some flower decoration, flower garlands hanging on the altar. There are some flashlights or the focus lights. So, all these different objects are there, but ultimately their purpose is to focus on Radha Kunj Bihari, to glorify Radha Kunj Bihari, to enhance the beauty of Radha Kunj Bihari. But if somebody is just focusing on these individual topics, but not looking at the beauty of Radha Kunj Bihari, then all these decorations, all these spotlights, there's no point of them. Their ultimate purpose is to enhance the beauty of Radha Kunj Bihari. So same way, understanding all these various other topics is to focus on the Ashraya, the Supreme Lord. So that is the third reason, because he wants to cover these various topics also. So he is speaking about these various processes. And the fourth reason, which is again another important reason, it's described in Bhagavatam itself, later on in the second canto. So there's a fourth reason of understanding these topics, such as the creation, the universal form of the Lord, right? The Vishwarupa, the Virat Rupa. This actually hearing all these descriptions lead to purification. And how is that? So it's mentioned in Bhagavatam itself. It says, Mayam Varnayato Amushyaha Ishwarasya Anumodhataha Shravanam Shraddhaya Nityam Mayaya Tanah Muhyati. The Lord's activity in association with His different energies should be described, appreciated and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, Shranvatam Shraddhaya Nityam, if these topics are heard with devotion, with the Shraddha regularly, what does it do? Maya yatam na muhyati. Then this illusory potency of the Lord, it does not bewilder the person. Somebody can come out of this bewilderment of the caused by this illusory energy. So this lead to purification of the listener and speaker. That's why these topics also should be heard. So even though our focus is, yes, I want to hear the nice, wonderful pastimes of the Lord, the Vrindavan Leela or the Ayodhya Leela, but these are also important topics. One should not just neglect these, considering it to be mundane topics, that these are for some Jnana Yogis or these type of people. This also leads to gradual purification. So that is the another reason why Shukdev Goswami is speaking what he is going to speak now. So he is starting with the description of Ashtanga Yoga process. We are still in first chapter of second canto. Now here he is going to start. And his overall focus, whenever he is speaking these other subject matters also, either it's Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, which will come in third canto in the description of Kapiladev, Lord Kapiladev, where he speaks about the Sankhya Yoga, which is Jnana Yoga. The ultimate purpose is always to give a comparison between the various processes and their outcome. So there are two things, right? One is the process we take and what is the result of that process. So there is sadhan and sadhya. Remember these two words. Sadhan and sadhya. So he is always going to compare. If you take this process, that is the sadhan, and what is the ultimate outcome of that sadhan? So if somebody want to follow the process of Ashtanga Yoga, so that is the sadhan, and the outcome of the Ashtanga Yoga process is somebody may be able to get impersonal liberation, merge into the Brahma Yoti. So that is the outcome, sadhya. But if somebody takes to the process of Bhakti Yoga, so that is the sadhan, and the sadhya is love of Godhead. And ultimately comparing the different sadhyas, the ultimate sadhya, the ultimate goal is to develop love of Godhead. So that is the whole presentation of Bhagavatam, comparing between the sadhana and sadhya. So people who are interested in Ashtanga Yoga, now when Sukhdev Goswami started speaking about Ashtanga Yoga, they are also very happy that, oh, Sukhdev Goswami is going to speak about our process. He understands that we are also correct. So he is not rejecting us. That's a big relief, right? That we were not wrong, we are also right, whatever we were doing. So to include them and ultimately lead them to the higher path. So I will just give you one example. Realization from last few days. So generally somebody who is all the followers of Devi Devata, if somebody new person come and sits in Bhagavad Gita class and something, and all of a sudden the preacher is speaking, oh, all these Devi Devatas, they are nothing, they are temporary, this is temporary, this is that, you should reject the Devi Devatas and all that, you are in illusion, Maya Meho Prabhu, aap sab chodo. So that person will be scared to death. What I have been doing all my life, it was all false. But if you tell, yes, the concept of Devi Devata is there, that is also there, correct, but understand, there is a limitation. That is not the ultimate thing. The ultimate is the Supreme Lord. So you are not rejecting completely, uplifting them slowly to the higher level. So including and taking them further, that gives a big relief. Everybody thinks, yes, we are included. Isn't it? So it's a primary school. And then high school. Don't stay in primary school. Come to the high school level also now. So all these followers of Ashtanga Yoga, they also feel relief that Sukhdev Goswami is going to speak about our path, our process now. And in the beginning, what Sukhdev Goswami is saying, that one must cut off all the attachments of body and everything related to the body. One should give up all the desires, not being afraid of death, and then one should take to this process of Ashtanga Yoga. Not being attached to body, giving all the attachments of people related to the body. So what does that mean? Not being attached to this outer covering of the soul, not being attached to the byproducts of this body, namely the children, the parents, the spouse and everybody, and being fully, not being afraid of death. Don't have fear of death. Now these days also a lot of people think we are practitioner of yoga process, right? There are so many yoga studios, they think we are doing yoga. But what is the purpose of their doing yoga? Are they free from body attachment, or because of body attachment they are doing yoga? They are doing yoga because of body attachment. Right? I want to make my body fit so I can enjoy better. I can eat this thing which right now I am not able to eat. So people's whole purpose of doing yoga is completely distorted now. And Sukhdev Goswami is saying, become completely detached from the body. Understand first, this body is not your real identity. This is not your real Savarupa. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Komaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatrana muhyati. That this soul is going on in this body from youth to, as the body grows. It goes from the childhood to youth to old age, and then it the soul passes into another body and the dhiras, a sober person, is not bewildered by that change. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani. As we give up the old garments and put on the new garments, so same way the soul gives up this old body and accepts a new body. So this body is not our real identity. And the people who are related to this body, they are also not going to stay forever with us. In my previous life, I may be in a different form, I may have a different parents, I may have a different relatives, different friends and all that. In this particular life, this particular body, I have different friend circle, family, relatives and all that. In my next life, I may get a particular type of body, have a particular parents, particular spouse or children and everything like that. पिछले जन्म में अगर कोई कॉकरोच था तो कॉकरोच ही पत्नी होगी और कॉकरोच बच्चे होंगे. इन दिस लाइफ इन ह्यूमन बीइंग सम स्पाउस सम किड्स आर देयर. नेक्स्ट लाइफ समबडी बिकम अ डेमिगॉड, देन देयर इज समबडी एल्स देयर. सो दिस बॉडी इज टेम्पररी, इट्स जस्ट अ ड्रेस कवरिंग फॉर द सोल. सो डोंट गेट अटैच टू दैट, गिव अप दिस अटैचमेंट एंड देन फॉलो दिस प्रैक्टिस ऑफ अष्टांग योगा. नाउ इन अष्टांग योगा, अष्ट yoga, there are eight limbs of the yoga process. Can anybody tell the names of these eight limbs? What are the eight limbs of this Ashtanga yoga process?
Yam,
Niyam, Yama, Niyama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Samadhi.
You're going all in random order.
Then Samadhi.
Last.
Anybody knows eight limbs in sequence? Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyan, Samadhi. Okay, so these are the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga process. Now, what are these eight limbs in sequence? One has to go in sequence to come to the level of Samadhi. Aisa nahi hai, beech mein se dhyan ko utha liya. Aur beech mein se आसन को उठा लिया. वन हैज टू फॉलो द फुल प्रूफ प्रोसेस ऑफ दिस अष्टांग योगा. सो यम नियम, व्हाट इज यम नियम? डूज एंड डोंट्स. नियम मींस व्हाट टू बी डन, यम मींस व्हाट इज टू बी रिजेक्टेड, व्हाट इज नॉट टू बी डन. सो हियर सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेज देर आर सर्टन नियम्स टू बी फॉलोड, सम रूल्स टू बी फॉलोड, देर आर सम थिंग्स टू बी रिजेक्टेड. एंड व्हाट इज, again, it depends on the wording. The same thing can be treated as a niyam and same thing can be treated as yam based on how it is said. So if somebody, it says, leave the house, that is a niyam, something to be done. So one should leave the house and go to forest. And same thing if it is said, don't stay at home, that becomes yam, right? That is not to be done, that don't just settle at home. So, the yam and niyam is one should leave the house, go to the forest, and one should not indulge in sense enjoyment. One should give up, follow the process of celibacy. So, these are yam and niyam. Now, when I am describing this Ashtanga Yoga process, we will see how it correlates with the process of Bhakti Yoga also. These eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, these apply in our Bhakti Yoga process also. Only is object of meditation is different. Right? When we come to the stage of Dhyana, basically Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, the object of Dhyana is different in Bhakti Yoga. But other processes are still there. We also have rules and regulation. What are the rules and regulation? The four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication. So these are, what are these? Yama, not to be done. And what are the niyam? What is to be done? Get up early in the morning, follow Ekadashi. That is object of meditation, right? So I'm just speaking of yam and niyam. What is not to be done, what is to be done? So these four regulative principles that one should not engage in these activities. One should maintain cleanliness, get up early in the morning, take shower, observe these austerities, follow Ekadashi and all that. So Yamaniyam is there. And then asana, one should sit down. So that is the third limb, asana. So one should sit down with erect posture, erect back, eyes half closed, not fully closed or not fully open. The reason is why it should not be fully open, that you are not just enjoying the scenery here and there. Not fully closed means so that you don't just fall asleep. So eyes should be half closed. And then, so that is asana, sitting in particular postures. That is the bodily postures. And then pranayam, controlling the breathing. And what happens by controlling the breathing? So here Sukhdev Goswami is describing this Ashtanga Yoga. So after asana, one should do the pranayam, controlling the breathing, and one should chant the Brahma mantra, the Om, the three syllable Om, which is to control the breathing process. So there are five type of airs. So one should control his ingoing air and outgoing air, exhale and inhale. What is the purpose of this pranayam? The purpose of pranayam is to control the mind. Because of these airs, when the air becomes balanced in the body, the mind becomes pacified, mind becomes controlled. So that's why I say, hold your nose from one side and breathe out, and then close from other side, breathe in. So that is called Om Vilom, right? That asana is there, Om Vilom, that's the pranayam. So pranayam is to control the breathing to ultimately pacify your mind. And what is the purpose of, after pacifying mind, what is next? What is the next limb of Ashtanga Yoga? Pratyahar. Cut down the ahar. Who's ahar? For all your senses. It just doesn't speak about eating less, that you should eat less. It says pratyahar means cutting down the food of your senses. The eyes want to see something. The skin want to touch something. So cutting down the object of your senses, not just the intake of food. Because we sometimes consider only intake of food is controlling our diet. So we have the tendency to hear something. Earlier somebody is hearing some nonsense, mundane music. So regulate that, cutting down that. So pranayam, pratyahar. And ultimately what is the purpose of pratyahar is, one is controlling the senses with the controlled mind. With pranayam you control the mind, with pratyahar you control the senses. And ultimately this mind is very difficult to control, because it is the reservoir of all the thoughts from so many millions of lifetime. So how one can control the mind with all these impressions? So sometimes we say mind is subtle, right? The subtle entity. But generally mind is very heavy with all these impressions from millions of lifetime. So how the mind can be controlled? So mind can be controlled with intelligence. Manasah buddhi sarathi. So by making the intelligence as the charioteer, agar driver sahi disha mein leke jayega, to rath ke upar jo bhi baitha hai sahi disha mein jayega. Right? So control your intelligence, sharpen your intelligence. With the intelligence, control the mind. Now up to here, everything need to be done in bhakti yoga also. Do we need to control mind? Do we need to control senses? So this yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahar, this applies in our practice of bhakti yoga also. Even though we may not be explicitly practicing sitting posture and doing this pranayama and pratyahar, but it's intrinsic to this whole process. And then after that comes dhyana, dharana, samadhi. My next question. Does somebody know the difference in dhyana, dharana and samadhi? What is the difference in dhyana and dharana?
Dhyana is meditation, dharana is concentration.
Meditation and concentration. Can you differentiate or explain with example?
putting your mind in one thing for...
So, dhar, actually the sequence is dharana, dhyan, samadhi. What is that?
Putting mind on something for a certain period of time is concentration.
Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Anybody want to take a guess?
So these three are one only, but the steps are different.
So steps are different, it's a gradual?
Gradual.
Okay. So the difference in dhyan, dharana, sorry, dharana, dhyan and samadhi. So when somebody is focusing on certain object, here we are not talking about the object yet, right? We are just talking about these three steps. So in Ashtanga Yoga, the object of Dhyana and Dharana may be different. In Bhakti Yoga, our object of Dharana and Dhyana is different. In Bhakti Yoga, our object is, what is our object? The chanting of holy name, sound vibration, right? That is the object. But in Ashtanga Yoga, the object is, what is the object in Ashtanga Yoga for Dharana and Dhyana? Either it's the personal form of the Lord or the Paramatma form of the Lord. That is actually the object of Dhyana and Dharana in Ashtanga Yoga process also. So, Dharana is focusing on certain object. But during that stage, your mind can disturb you and you can be disturbed by the external objects also. And when you go further deep inside, come to the stage of dhyana, then you have cut off your senses from the external disturbances, but your mind can still trouble you. Like in the case of Vishwamitra. So he arose from the state of dharana to dhyana. He was not disturbed. So earlier he was disturbed by the external objects also. Menaka came and he heard the sound of her ankle bell and he was disturbed by the external objects also. But later on, he conquered that external objects, external disturbances, but he was troubled by mind. He got angry. So when one has gone above both external distractions also and internal distractions also, one has gone victory over these two and completely absorbed on his object of meditation, that becomes samadhi. So that is the difference in dharana, dhyana and samadhi. There is another description. So in stage of dharana, when a Ashtanga Yogi is practicing this, his object is the personal form of the Lord. So personal form of the Lord, they are looking at the form of the Lord as a whole, the whole form. And they try to meditate on that form for certain time. When they goes to the next level as dhyan, the word dhyan itself means, kya bolte usko dhyan laga ke dekho. Bolte na dhyan do ispe upar, dhyan lagao. So look at the details. When you say dhyan se dekho means, look for the details. So then, rather than focusing at the form of the Lord as a whole, you are looking at the individual limbs of the Lord. You are looking at the feet of the Lord. You are looking at the face of the Lord. You are looking at the waist of the Lord. Abhi jaise hum pehle koi mandir mein jaye, if somebody goes to the temple, in the beginning, somebody is standing in front of Radha Kunj Bihari and looking at it. Oh wow, Radha Kunj Bihari is very beautiful. So they looked at Radha Kunj Bihari. Now you ask him, oh, you think Radha Kunj Bihari is very beautiful. Can you explain me the beauty of Radha Kunj Bihari? Can you tell me what dress he was wearing? What is the color of his pagadi, turban? What is the, what type of jewelry he was wearing? Oh, I did not pay attention to that. Overall, Radha Kunjivari was looking very beautiful, but I don't know all these details. So when somebody goes next time, stand in front of that, if they have come to that level, now they are looking at details, looking at the different limbs of the body of the Supreme Lord. So that is dhyana. So dharana means they are absorbing their mind at the form of the Lord as a whole. Dhyan means they are looking at the details, focusing on the individual limbs of the Lord.
Which one is better?
Looking at the individual limbs of the Lord. And then for ultimately one progresses to the level of samadhi. Complete focused on that, holding that form in his heart. Somebody is able to completely focus on that without being distracted by external or internal distractions. Now in bhakti yoga also, when we do the process of chanting, can we relate that to dhyana and dharana? Or dharana and dhyan? So when we start chanting, our whole goal is I need to finish this one mala. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then you go to the level of dhyan, focusing on each syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Explicitly focusing on each and every syllable of the mantra. That is dhyan. So this process, when we read about Ashtanga Yoga process, sometimes we think, "Arey, ye hamare liye nahi hai. This is for the yogis." But actually, it applies on us also. Each and every limb applies on us also. Only difference is the object of meditation. Rather than being object of meditation as Paramatma form, our object of meditation is the sound vibration, the holy name of the Lord. And when one goes to the level of samadhi, Ashtanga Yogi also, who is focusing on the form of the Lord, they can also see some Vrindavan pastime in their samadhi. If that is their object, focusing on the form of the Lord, they can also experience some wonderful pastimes of the Lord in their heart. And as a practitioner of Bhakti Yogi who is following the process of chanting of holy name, while chanting, they are so absorbed, sometimes they are experiencing in their heart the various wonderful pastimes of the Lord. Like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, there are so many pastimes. They are hearing, completely absorbed in their chanting, meditation, and they are witnessing some wonderful leela of the Lord happening.
Prabhupada used to say that when you chant and you sing, Krishna should be dancing on your tongue.
Right.
He says, I just remember that.
So Krishna is chanting on our tongue. And that is what we should try to realize, that when I am chanting the holy name, Krishna is dancing on my tongue. There is actually another verse which describe if somebody lays down and chant the name of Krishna, Krishna come and sit next to him. If somebody is sitting and chanting the holy name, Krishna comes and stand in front of him. And if somebody is standing and chanting the name of Krishna, Krishna come and start dancing around him. And if somebody is dancing and chanting the holy name, that dancing Krishna enters into his heart. So that's why dancing in the kirtan is very important. One should not just stand. I don't know what they are doing. So sometimes people are standing like this, right? So if somebody is not participating in kirtan, not clapping and not jumping and not dancing, it's like he is on the side of Ravana. Jaise kya hota hai, if some parade is going on, right? If jaise do parties hain, let's say in two political parties. Ek party ka rally ja raha hai, somebody they are glorifying that leader, Trump. The other party, they are just standing, what are these guys doing? They are on the other side, right? They don't care about this person. So same way, when we are chanting the name of Krishna, when we are dancing in kirtan and somebody is just a mute spectator like that, it means he is on the side of Ravana. So that's why chanting, dancing in kirtan is important, participating in kirtan, clapping, to show that yes, we are also on the side of Lord Ram, on the side of Lord Krishna, not on the side of Ravana or Kansa. So I was drawing parallels between this Ashtanga Yoga process and our Bhakti Yoga process. These all eight limbs applies to us also. Remember, the only difference is the object of meditation. So Shukdev Goswami is including everybody, that whatever you are doing the process of Ashtanga Yoga, that is correct. So he is including them and taking them further. Ultimately, he will bring to the level of their goal, that your sadhan is you have a desire to merge into the impersonal Brahman. But compared to that, the sadhana, the sadhya of developing love of Godhead, that is much superior. Should we stop here or?
Who question answer this?
Okay, so let me see how much we have. Okay, we'll stop here. Maybe we'll cover next time the Virat Rupa form, what he is describing. So here, so let me just conclude this topic. So Shukdev Goswami, so now he is saying after pranayam pratyahar, come to the level of dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So what he is describing for the level of dharana, he is saying shubha arthe dharaye dhya. That one should focus his concentration on the object of auspiciousness. Shubha arthe. He is not directly using the word that one should concentrate his mind on the personal form of the Lord. But as the next verse comes, he comes to the level of dhyana. So there, Sukadev Goswami exactly mentioned that one should focus on each and every limb of the personal form of the Lord. So in the literal meaning, Shubha Arthe may be some auspicious object, but in the contextual manner, it means focusing on the personal form of the Supreme Lord. Because then only one will go to the each and individual limb of the Lord, focusing on each and every limb of the Lord, and then holding, going into the level of Samadhi. And he is saying one's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature or bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. So there are two words, pay attention. Agitation and bewilderment. Sometimes our mind is very agitated. Right? What is that? Because of passion. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Bewildered. That is ignorance.
Bewildered is confused.
Right? Confused. Yeah. Agitation. Right. Agitation is you are agitated.
Not peaceful.
Does that cause bewilderment?
Not necessarily, but bewilderment can cause. Yeah, both ways. It's both ways there. So one's mind is always agitated by passion and bewildered by ignorance. So by the higher taste, by focusing one's mind on the personal form of the Lord, one should try to remember the Lord and fix in the habit of seeing the all good personal conception of the Lord. And in that way, one will very soon connect with the Lord, go to his deep shelter. Now, there are two different type of people. So there may not be some people who completely accept the personal form of the Lord. Because here Shukadev Goswami said, one should absorb his mind on the personal form of the Lord when he first time described the process of Ashtanga Yoga. But then there may be some people who don't accept the personal form of the Lord. As we discussed in last Bhagavad Gita class, there are two type of people. So 724, Lord Krishna says there are people who are more inclined to the Brahman aspect. They don't give much importance to the personal form. They are more inclined to the impersonal form. And then there are some other people who completely reject the form of the Lord. Mudhas. In 9-11. So, thinking about these type of people, Shukdev Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask the question, can you tell again on whom one should focus his mind? What is the object of dhyana? And then Shukadev Goswami is going to speak about this Ashtanga Yoga process again, but now by changing the object of meditation. So now he will say the object of meditation is not the personal form of the Lord, but the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So what is the difference in those two? Or in these two descriptions? What is the difference in these two descriptions? He is saying if after following up to the process of pranayam pratyahar, if somebody is able to purify his senses, if somebody is able to give up his desires, then one should focus on the personal, all auspicious personal form of the Lord. But if somebody, after coming to the level of pranayam pratyahar also, is not able to give up the desire of enjoyment, for that person, the object of meditation is the Virat Roop of the Lord. Why? Because if somebody focuses on the Virat Roop of the Lord, he will say everything in this whole creation, in all three planetary system, everything exists within the Supreme Lord. This Virat Purusha, he is the owner of everything. So I should not try to enjoy for myself. Better I should surrender to this Virat Rupa, Virat Purusha. So in that way one will be able to finally give up his desires of enjoyment. So that is the reason of these two way, different descriptions of Ashtanga Yoga process and two different objects. One as the personal form of the Lord and then second time as the Virat Rupa of the Lord. And actually this Virat Rupa description comes 3-4 times in Bhagavatam. In second canto itself it comes twice. First it will come now in first chapter when we go forward. And then second again it will come after a few chapters, again 5th, 6th chapter, again the Virat Rupa form description will come. Then again in 4th or 5th canto another Virat Rupa description comes. So what is the reason of these different description? Why there are different description needed again and again of the Virat Rupa?
People are different.
Because the purpose of description is different. Once the purpose of description is to briefly tell that everything exists in the form of the Lord. Second time the description come, it is to say from here this creation happened, from here this came out. So the purpose is different of describing. And in Bhagavad Gita also, right, we saw the Virat Rupa description is there. Lord showed the universal form. And in there, actually Sanjay is describing to Dhritarashtra. He is seeing and describing to Dhritarashtra. So his purpose of description is different. And whatever he is experiencing, he is telling based on his experience. So all these Virat Rupa description, there may be some variation. When we hear from one point to another point to another point, there may be some variations in the description of Virat Rupa. But ultimately it's the same Virat Rupa. It's not that there are different Virat Rupas. Only description difference is somebody who is explaining it, they are telling from their point of view. When Sanjay is telling, he is telling what he is seeing in the universal form. Whatever are the things which are more common to both Sanjay and Dhritarashtra. So he's saying, oh, I am seeing everybody getting into the mouth of Krishna. All these are stuck in the jaws of Krishna. And I see 1,000 head, 1,000 arms, 1,000 legs, all that. So he is describing, he is speaking about Arjuna, he is speaking about Duryodhana, I am seeing this person, that person. Because he is speaking about those whom both Sanjay and Dhritarashtra are familiar with. And when Shukdev Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, he is speaking from that point of view. What are their familiarity level? So second canto of Bhagavatam is little complex in that way. It's not as free-flowing as some wonderful pastimes, leelas. It is little technical. So we have to hear it with full attention. Otherwise you will come to a different conclusion. Nahi to aap ghar jaake bologe, Vrindanath Prabhu ne bola Ashtanga Yoga process karna hai, Pramatma roop pe dhyan lagana hai, ya fir Virat roop pe dhyan lagana hai. Right? So you may completely miss out the ultimate conclusion. So you have to be very careful, very attentive to hear this second canto of Bhagavatam. And when people do this Bhagavad Katha, which is a very famous trend, 7 din ki katha, 7 day Bhagavad Katha, in that actually they have limitation of time or whatever the reasons are, 7 day, every day 3-4 hours of katha, how much you can cover. So they basically go on some wonderful stories only throughout Bhagavatam from different cantos. So from first canto, they will take some stories of Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And then from third canto, they will take some story. From fifth canto, they will take some stories. Seventh canto, they will take the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, Narsingha Devavatar. And then they will come to tenth canto. Right? Lord Krishna's pastime. And most of these details, other descriptions are completely missed out. So people even don't know, who hear these Bhagavad Kathas, they even don't know many of the things which are described in Bhagavatam. So our purpose is, we want to, in a systematic flow, we want to go from first canto onwards, discussing all the details. Even though in some portions of Bhagavatam, it may seem to be a little boring or a little technical, may go completely over our head. But as we read that verse, discussing those details also, describing the Supreme Lord along with his Maya, also gives the purity of the heart. So it's important to discuss all these details also. So we understand the systematic presentation of whole Bhagavatam. Otherwise, Shukdev Goswami also could have omitted these details. Oh, Parikshit Maharaj is only 7 days. Let me tell him some important things. Right? Some wonderful leelas only. But he went through the systematic presentation.
So was there 7 days, just our regular 7 days? Or just
it was our regular 7 days, 24 by 7. Okay. The only difference is they were sitting 24 by 7 there.
Okay.
Not taking a tea coffee breaks.
Okay.
Or the 8 hour sleep breaks.
So Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from 2nd canto all the way to 12th canto.
Yes. So Parikshit Maharaj heard basically the time he came, surrendered, and Shukdev Goswami came, and that whole description started, which is from the end of 1st canto.
You said the 10 topics of Bhagavatam are in 2nd canto?
2nd canto, 10th chapter, 1st verse. It lists all the 10 topics of Bhagavatam.
You said earlier in the lecture that 4 types of people do not understand or are bereft of spiritual vision. Four types of people do not come or are bereft of spiritual vision.
Not 4 types. I said the people who are completely bereft of this, they have thousands of topics to hear.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's not 4 type of people, but that is a different verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says 4 type of people don't surrender to me.
Yeah, that's why I connected.
Right. So there are 4 type of people who don't come to Krishna, which is the people who take to the shelter of demonic mentality, people who are completely bewildered, asuri pravritti ashrita, mudha naradhama, so lowest among the mankind, naradhama,
which is
the lowest among the mankind, which is they may consider themselves to be human beings, but they are completely absorbed in their routine lives. They don't turn towards Krishna. They think we are too busy, we don't have time. So they are wasting their human birth.
So that's the 9-11?
That is 7-15.